Hey everybody, Nate here. Before the show, I just wanted to take a minute to talk about our sponsor, the Snack Nanny. The Snack Nanny is the latest, greatest spill-proof bowl. It's the first snack bowl for kids with a self-closing door. The Snack Nanny allows kids to snack freely without overeating, keeps kids entertained, and prevents them from creating a mess for mom and dad to clean up. Kids and parents love the Snack Nanny. It's easy to use, easy to clean, and includes portion control features that only the Snack Nanny offers. To order, go to www.snacknanny.com. or order from Amazon. Remember, you support our sponsors and they support us. Thanks and Nihei Debiru. Hi everyone, and welcome back to Chop Talk. I'm your host, Nate England. If you listen to the show on iTunes, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating. Also, don't forget to like the show on Facebook. This week we have the second half of the interview with Bob Voles, a longtime student of Shuriryu Chief Instructor Mike Awad and co-owner of the Kosho School of Karate in Cincinnati, Ohio. Mr. Voles has been studying karate for almost 40 years, and as part of the Sensei Awad's dojo, had a chance to train under some of the best karate men of the era, including Robert Trias, Philip Keppel, James McLean, Ross Scott, Bill Superfoot Wallace, and many more. He's also an avid art and antique collector, and has an impressive vintage motorcycle collection. Mr. Voles is also known as a top-notch instructor, with impeccable basics and a stickler for details. Mr. Voles opens the show by discussing the importance of teaching and the application of Bunkai. Bunkai is the application of karate moves for those non-martial artists out there. We then discuss his impressive art and antique collection. In the second half of the show, we discuss the impressive group of black belts that have come through the school and the great potential of the new crop of students. To find out more about Mr. Voles and the Kosho School of Karate, visit www.koshoschoolofkarate.com or visit the school's page on Facebook.
Assistant instructors should always be with a black belt teaching a class because they're going to learn. Right. And if they're blue belts learning to be assistant instructors, it's a great thing. They have no idea how lucky they are, mm-hmm. You know, because that's the future.
Sure.
You know, of any dojo, I think. So, it's about the basics, you know. It's not about, hey, let's do show katas and, you know, if you can't run that kata right and do your bankai, you know, and the whole thing about bankai, I mean, you have to be close enough to the man running the kata, which we see in our school.
Yeah, for somebody who's listening who maybe not know the word bunkai. So bunkai, if you run the kata, you demonstrate the form in the air, and then the bunkai is the example. So how you interpret that thing. So you're not just doing this dance. It means something. The blocks, the punches, everything. You're picturing this opponent out there. And you want to then be able to demonstrate it with a partner,
right?
Right.
Absolutely.
So you were saying,
and your attackers, you know, when you know your kata, you know how to run your kata. You know all the stances, punch, strikes, blocks, whatever. But okay, now it's time to attack someone that's running that kata. So there's usually two attackers. There can be three attackers, but you as an attacker have to know where to be, what technique to throw, and your distance has to be right, which is the most important thing, because there can be a guy running a perfect kata, and you as an attacker, if you're not close enough, he's got to break his stance or do an extra
run strike out to you,
to get there to do his strike. So, which is, you know, which a lot of people don't get. It takes them a long time to get that in the attacker mode. Mm-hmm. You've got
to... Well, they're both working together to make it look good.
Exactly. Even in our wansu, right from the start, when the man steps in front and chokes the other guy, usually they're always too far from the guy. So what I do now is I tell the guys, I go, look, go up, grab this guy, pull him back, and you get right where you need to be. So the man running the kata can step up, do the head strike, grab, and pull back. If you're too far, the guy has to break his stance, and it doesn't make him look good.
Right. So
the attackers into bankai is real important to be where you need to be. I mean, you know, you're grabbing a guy head strike, pointy back, knuckles in the throat, low block, hook to the head. I mean, that's an in-tight saison strike, hook to the head. So you have to be.
Yeah.
You have to be that close when you attack. Right. That's the bottom line.
And you know, you work with something like Jodo, where you're always doing. You have the Jo versus a sword, and all the katas are two man katas. You eventually work out that timing. But with karate, since you work it sometimes in the air, and when you work it with the partners, you know, maybe a couple times during class or during review, they don't have as much repetition. So it's also important for the people to keep in mind when they're running it, what these people are doing, kind of picturing it in their mind.
Absolutely. Yeah. No doubt. I mean, that's where you start really knowing your kata.
Mm.
It's not just a block, punch, kick. It's what you're blocking. It's where you're striking. Mm. And it's your next move, where you have to be, you know, whether it's a kick, you got that distance.
Mm-hmm.
It's a strike with the hand, you got that distance. Mm-hmm. If it's saison, if it's in, you got that distance. If it's armbar, choke pin, it's all, you know, mm-hmm. everything, it's all distancing, you know. That determines what strike you're going to do, mm-hmm. what block you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're at.
And you can tell if they're running it in the air and they're not thinking about it. There's a difference.
Right.
Between somebody who's really picturing those attackers coming in and somebody who's just trying to remember what block and what punch comes next.
Yeah. Mushin.
Mm. Yes.
Mushin. Mushin. When you have that, you got it. Right?
Right.
You know, so then it's just a reaction.
Looking for a way to gain an edge on the competition? Want to give your body some much-needed relief and relaxation? Try Medical Resort ATEC, Okinawa's specialist in sports therapy and wellness care. ATEC offers customizable massage therapy. Try their oxygen chamber for increased metabolism and faster recovery from injuries. Or take their stretching course to improve flexibility. ATEC is used by professional athletes from the Ryukyu Golden Kings, FC Ryukyu, and Ryukyu Corazon. Stop into their center Monday through Saturday at 12830 Oroku in Naha City, Okinawa. Call 098-859-1890 or visit them on the web at www.sanso-atac.com. That's www.sanso-atac.com.
Well, this is the first time I've been out to your place, and I'm impressed. You have a hell of an art collection.
Well, yeah, we got some art here, and we've got some wacky stuff going on.
Yeah,
you know?
So how'd you get into to all of this?
Oh, well, I started this when I was a teenager. I started working when I was like 14 years old in the summer, you know, installing swimming pools and stuff like that. And we'd go all over different areas of Cincinnati, and you'd see a yard sale or some type of sale. You go in there, and I started buying artwork back when I was a teenager, and antiques and la-la-la, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So now I have this mess here, and it's kind of wacky, and there's a,
You don't have enough wall space left. You have paintings stacked against the wall.
Yeah, I
know. Because there's no more wall space to hang them. And this is stuff, there's old stuff, there's contemporary stuff. It's real impressive.
Well,
collection.
Artwork, in my opinion, some people think you have to match stuff. I buy anything, and it seems to go, doesn't it? It doesn't have to match, you know, and I've got artwork in there all the way down to the baseboards. I have stacks of it, and we've got a flat file over there, which, you know, I've got some nice prints in and stuff like that, and too much, I don't know, I've got too much stuff here, you know. You need butcher knives, there's a bucket of them over there, you know.
You had a collection of plumb bobs, you have Indian axe heads, you've got...
Yeah, I've got stuff.
You've got a hell of a curio collection here.
Yeah, we do. And, hey, you got to check my klaxon out. I got a klaxon.
What's a klaxon?
For the boxers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you got to pull that rope, it's by the back door. I used to have it outside, and nobody knew it was there, but... The people that would come over and that knew it was there because they wouldn't look up. Nobody looks up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I was redoing my house, so I had to bring it indoors here. But it's pretty loud, and it's a good one.
Good.
So, Yeah, we have a lot of wacky stuff around here. So,
I think so.
Maybe that's my retirement. You know, I don't know.
Going to different estate sales or
Oh, yeah, I did estate sales auctions. It was quite a blast. Mm-hmm.
And you're into the motorcycles. I know you have a couple of old ones out in your shed, too.
Yeah, the coolest one's the 1951 Harley, you know, tank shift. It's a great motorcycle. And if it starts good, it might start in two or three kicks, or, you know, might take 28 kicks, you know. You never know, you know. So, and I do have a sidecar for that old motorcycle, which I don't think it'll ever be on there. I just have it. It's the same year, 1951 Harley sidecar. And we didn't go next door, but I've got another Harley over there.
You got more?
Well, I've got one more over there with a it's a 03 with a sidecar. I'll show you that. We'll walk over there. And then I've got that old another sidecar. I've got three sidecars. I don't want any sidecars. I want the 51 sidecar, and the rest of them got to go. I got four Harleys. I always wanted four Harleys, and now I might be getting rid of one of them. Now I've had my
get traded in for an Indian.
Well, I don't know about that. I want to go older.
Okay.
You know, always older. Yeah. I guess I got a 51, a 73, a 98, and an 03 is what I have on the Harley
Space
division
them out
right
every 10 or 15 years. Nice.
Yeah. So, but I want to go older and simpler, and I'll keep the 03 because that's something an old man can ride for, you know. I could go to Sturgis.
Sure. Sure.
I could go to Florida, Myrtle Beach, whatever I want to do.
And you don't have to kickstart it 28 times.
I don't have to kickstart it, no. So, but the old ones are fun to ride, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. I'd buy another one if I could find a good deal on one.
Everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks. Remember, if you have an upcoming seminar, tournament, or other martial arts event, let us know, and we'd be happy to announce it on the program. And now, back to the show.
Well, you know, now you're kind of getting into a different part of your martial arts career. I mean, you're training hard for years, sparring, going to seminars, tournaments, things like that. But now you're officially a dojo co-owner.
Well,
you're a little bit more on the business side and kind of running things a little bit. What's been the difference making that transition?
Well, actually, I think it's really no different at this point. This is all kind of new, but I mean, lucky to have, you know, Mr. Hammond, Sensei Hammond, take the dojo over, because he was back here coming down working out with you know, the AWADs and us black belts here, which were white belts at the time, yellow belts. Mr. Hammond's like the oldest out-of-town guy that's still here.
Sure.
You know, and now he's running this dojo, you know, and you, Mr. England, I mean, that's the mix that can keep this place going. You know, if that can't do it, nothing can, bottom line.
Yeah.
We're lucky to have that, you know. And, you know, we've got some of the old guys. Mr. Gangloff's bought the dojo. We have, I would like to see Tony Awad come back. I mean, Dennis Swingley. You know, we've got a lot of old black belts here.
You know, and that was one of the things that really made this place stand out when I first, when I was going to Miami, I came down to work out here. I don't know if I noticed as much because I was just coming down once a week or once every couple of weeks. But when once I moved to Cincinnati, I kind of realized, wow, there's a lot of guys that have been in martial arts for a long time all here at the same spot. I mean, most of the people, the black belts of that school have been working out for minimum 30 years.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A very, very top-heavy school, you know.
Yeah, it is top-heavy, yeah.
And that's usually unusual. Usually by this time, three or four of the guys have gotten in a big brawl and everyone's gone out and started their own school. But here, everyone stuck together.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Most dojos do. Yeah, some of the high-ranking black belts split off and there's hard feelings and it's they do their own thing. And this school's pretty much stays the same, you know, and it's up to all of us guys to carry it on. We'll see. Mm. We'll see where that goes. It's good school, good instructors. If the mix works out, which I don't think we have any problem with the mix, we're real fortunate to have who we have here.
Sure.
If we can get like a couple of these, even like Mr. Gangloff that bought the school, I mean. You know, he was there at our last promotions, you know.
Mm-hmm. Bought the building.
Yeah, bought the building, right. Yeah. You know, some of those students never met him, you know.
Right.
And they're like, who's that guy? Wow, he's really good, you know. So we do have a lot of good black belts here. And gosh, if we get Tony back in there, mm-hmm. Tony Awad, I mean... There's a lot of good high-ranking black belts at this dojo, and
absolutely,
you know.
I remember Tony when I was going to Miami University. I come down. He taught almost all the classes that I went to.
Yeah,
he was hitting those giant heavy bags, not the regular size heavy bag, but the giant ones. I don't know how much they weighed.
Oh, I don't know. 52? What are they? 110 or
they're pretty big.
Even more than that, maybe.
And he was hitting those with these short punches. They're bouncing around like a speed bag. I've never seen anything like it.
Tony's a real powerful guy, and he doesn't know that, but I mean, he's cracked my ribs so many daggone times, and many other people's, and it's like, you know, it's like you'd tell him after class, go, God darn, Tony, that was a good one, he'd be like, oh, yeah, sorry, I think I did connect pretty good with that one, but he'd have no idea,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, he's a powerful man, I mean, you've been hit by him before, right? Yeah. And the weirdest thing about Tony, he's a short, big man, you know.
Right.
And powerful with his fist, but you would watch Tony over the years, and every once in a while, it's the weirdest thing, and he, whenever he did it, it would shock him too. He could come with a roundhouse, and roundhouse somebody right in the face, so clean, wham, bap, in and out, and he would get the dumbfounded look on his face, like, did I do that? I mean, the man, and I've seen it over the years, many a times, and it would just totally baffle him, as it would somebody that he just clocked him in the head real clean. It was like
they're both surprised.
Yeah, no doubt, because that man just, and somebody you'd think would just kick you in the head, but God darn it, he would do it. It would come out of nowhere. It was a pretty awesome thing, you know. And Sastry too, actually, Mr. Sastry and Mr. Davis, mm-hmm. those guys, they're daggone sidekicks. I mean, I've had my ribs cracked so many times by them guys.
Because you weren't expecting to be kicked by a short, stocky guy.
Exactly, and they would plan them, too.
All built like fire hydrants.
Exactly, they would plan them right in there and just, oh, they'd get you, you know. And then here you go, you know, 3, 4, 5 months, you have sore ribs. That's just the way it goes, you know. In the karate world, I mean, you have injuries, you know, whether it's a joint in your thumb, you know. I mean, you have stuff that lasts mm-hmm. 5 months, 8 months. Some stuff lasts 2 years. Yeah. I mean, you work out with it, and it hurts, but, you know, you have that healing time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just the way it is.
Looking for great entertainment? Want to find the best deals on food and drinks? Use the PubPal app to find great establishments near you. View daily specials, find live bands, karaoke, even poetry. If you're looking for something to do, PubPal is the answer, and it's only a click away. Download the app on the Apple Store and get the Android app on Google Play. And don't forget to like them on Facebook. Visit PubPalUSA.com to find out more. That's PubPalUSA. PubPalUSA.
Now we're older, I don't know, you know.
You don't want to take so many psychics to the ribs anymore?
No, not so much. That's why I usually always cover my front with my front hand low, mm-hmm. back hand high.
Yeah.
I mean, I learned that a long time ago because I got my ribs smashed all the time. Now, is that the best hand position? Not necessarily. I think you get hit in the head more when that's your coverage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I use the most just because I've had my ribs smashed so many times. And then again, I've been kicked and punched in the head so many times too, you know. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
It's and you're still getting
part
in there
of the game.
You're still getting in there and sparring with the guys.
Well,
just a couple months ago, we had a good session. You jumped in there and
yeah, we did. That was a real good session. Yeah, and for not sparring a whole lot lately, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Need to do that more on a regular basis.
Yeah,
you know, and I like teaching when you're teaching your students. You know, when you work Kumite, you know, you always teach good Kimi. Every once in a while, you know how that goes. Strikes come in real hard.
Sure.
But, really teaching a Kumite to the students. You can go pretty easy with them, and it's fun. Mm-hmm. You can tap them in the head and go, cover your head, and then you hit them in the body. Cover your body, you know. I mean, that's the way.
It's good to show them that this guy who's up there telling them what to do, you know, knows how to do it.
Yeah, we need to work more of that, don't we?
Yeah, I think so.
You know. So right now we're on their asses about their stances and their katas.
Yeah. We're trying to get it balanced out.
Yeah, it's a well-rounded thing they need to be doing here. So.
Sure.
And it's all about the basics, so. Mm-hmm. But it's just repetitious, you know, thousands of times. Then they get it. So it goes back to the Mushin, where you don't have to think about it. You've done it so many times, it's automatic. And
right.
And daggone, you get up to blue belt, green belt level, which is green belt, a great intermediate stage. Those guys should be able to tell if they do something that doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
They should be able to tell, well, that's because my stance was this little bit off.
They should feel it. Maybe they can't fix it all just yet, but they should know what's wrong.
Right. Right. We got good students there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We got a good group, and we're trying to expand it all the time. We got some more new ones in there, and hopefully we can keep it growing.
Yeah. Yeah, we're working on it. So.
All right. Well, I think my battery light's flashing. So.
Well, okay. Then we completed this mission.
I think we did. I appreciate you sitting down with me and having me out.
Well, cool. And, well, we'll do it again, I'm hoping.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
All right. Thank you.
You got some new toys here.
I do. The commas. These are nice. And now tell me a little bit about the commas, where they came from.
Well, I'm not sure. I think they came from Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay.
You know, I know that Sensei, Michael Iawad, and one of our black belts, Creel Helton, had these made. Out in Phoenix, Arizona, I believe is that's mm-hmm. where they were made, and I think those are the only two guys from the dojo that had these weapons that were made for them.
Mm-hmm.
And Sensei has one, and now this set goes to you. These are yours, your weapons man. And
well, thank you.
I hope they last you until you want to pass them on down.
I'm sure they will. I'll take good care of them.
So, you're a young man. You might have these like 30 or 40 years from now. You know, hopefully.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe longer.
So yay. Well, you know, they say people are living longer these days.
That's true.
So we'll see how that rolls.
Oh, that's great. I appreciate you entrusting them to me. I'll take really good care of them.
Well, good, you deserve them.
Well, thank you.
That's all for my interview with Bob Voles. Thanks again to Mr. Voles for inviting me out to his place and taking the time to sit down with me. To find out more about Mr. Voles and the Kosho School of Karate, visit www.koshoschoolofkarate.com or visit the school's page on Facebook. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Nihei Nibiru and Mataya.
All right, and we're going to close off the show with a shot of moonshine.
Yeah, we've got some moonshine here that's clear as water. And it's pretty smooth. take the lid off there.
Do you think people could tell we were into it before we started the interview?
Well, probably not, because this stuff is so pure. It's wonderful. You take a sip of it, it warms your whole chest. Very nice. Well, Mr. England, you
all right.
Take the honors.
Thank
first.
Thank you. Kanpai.
Okay, that's pretty good stuff. My turn. I'll tell you, it's a lot smoother than the smell.
Mm.
The vapors that come off of that are kind of scary, you know, but that's pretty smooth shine, ain't it?
Yeah, it's got a good taste.
No doubt. Well, kanpai here. We'll
all right.
Take us a little chaser here.
Thank you.
Mm. Yeah, part of karate is being very social, right?
Absolutely. So, it's an important part.
Yeah, it is as important as any of it. Mm-hmm. It's as important as the basics. So, which we'll be teaching this week.
Absolutely.
We'll be on it.
Absolutely.
We'll be on their asses. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.